Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mike Ostrom, the doctor's with us. Director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota. Mike's with us on the Center Point Energy Home Service Plus hotline. Mike, good to chat with you as always. Did you have an enjoyable 4th of July?
I had a pleasant 4th of July. I did. Thank you.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah. How about you? I hope you did too.
It was good. It was very nice. It was outside. It was hot. It was typical of, you know, normal times in some ways, and then just atypical about, you know, no fireworks and following social guidelines as everybody should. Mike, we see these numbers increasing dramatically in certain parts of the country. In fact, right now numbers are rising in 43 states. We know more dramatically in certain states, including Florida. I saw a number today, Mike. We're talking about this uptick. Miami-Dade, this is the biggest county in Florida. The positive rate for folks who are getting tested for yesterday, Mike, is 33.5%. In Minnesota, it's under 3%, the positive rate. Not just Florida, but what is going on? Why are we seeing this uptick?
Well, you're absolutely correct. What we're seeing in a number of states, in fact, more than 34 states right now, are seeing cases increasing. Some of them much, much more than others, as you're well aware. Arizona, Texas, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, a lot of the southern states. But these are all states that also opened earlier after, you know, we had the shutdown in a sense to try to flatten out that curve, as it was called at the time. And what's happened is you just have enough time now between when the basically the public was told they could kind of go back to normal, as unfortunately was pretty much the direction. And now what you're seeing is the ongoing transmission because of that. You know, we're in tough shape. You mentioned Florida. Right now, over half of Florida's ICUs, intensive care units, are at least 90% full, and more than 20% are completely full. I mean, they can't take any more patients. They're also running short of staff. And this is just what this virus is going to do. What happened in other countries around the world is they had many of the same early challenges we did, where kind of the house is on fire, like we saw in New York, Detroit, Chicago, New Orleans. And then basically by distancing as we did, we slowed the virus transmission way down. And rather than come back gradually, like many of those locations did, and then monitor it closely with testing and contact tracing when it was still at a very low level, we just saw other places just kind of release the public back into everyday life. And now this is the price we're paying for it.
Do you think some of these places, Mike, Florida included, might be looking at what people call phase one and going back to a fairly dramatic shutdown?
Well, you know, I think people assume that this is a policy decision that just we can decide yes or no, and the consequences will be only limited. In fact, that's not the case. This virus, through much of the country, still has infected no more than 7 to 8% of the population. And this is what you're seeing already in terms of the pain, suffering, death, and economic disruption. This virus is going to continue to transmit readily until we get closer to 50 to 70% of the population infected. So when you think about, as I said, all the pain, suffering, death, economic disruption to date that we've had with 7 or 8% of the population infected, think what it's going to take to get to 50 to 70%. And we have one or two choices. We can either let it go, much like we're kind of doing right now, and we're going to see this overwhelmed country. And it won't be just the southern states. We're going to see it throughout the U.S. Or we can basically try to get us back down again to much, much more manageable numbers, you know, 1 to 2 cases per 100,000 population per day, where we then have a better chance to do the testing and contact tracing to try to smother what transmission is going on. This is exactly what they've done in many countries around the world, even north of us in Canada. I mean, they are in a much, much better position than we are. So it's not that we can't do it. The question is, are we going to be willing to do it? And, you know, if the public says we're tired of the pandemic fatigue, the economic disruption is far too great, which we all have to acknowledge. The economic disruption has been hell. It's been terrible. And people right. have suffered miserably. So I think we have to ask ourselves, how can we help support those who have suffered already if we have to go back down, you know, into a phase one response? But I don't see any other way to do it. I just don't. There's no other way that we're going to get these numbers down.
So if we do that in key areas, and it's not the same in every place, right? How soon could these areas, Florida, Arizona, Texas, others, how soon could they get back to where they were, let's say, 6 weeks, 2 months ago?
Probably a good 2 to 3 months. So it's going to take. I mean, let's just look at New York. I mean, New York was a house on fire in April, May, early May. And, you know, they put in place a number of very stringent, overarching kinds of requirements in terms of, you know, what could be done to the public, what's open, what's not, et cetera. And obviously, it's caused some real hardships. But right now, they're one of the few places in the country that are in a pretty stable position, and they're continuing to release more and more economic activity into everyday life. And so they're doing just that. They're doing the test and trace and trying to follow up as much as they can. That is the model I think we have no choice but to try to achieve. If not, you know, between now and the time we get a vaccine, which we don't know when that will be, we hope we're going to have a vaccine. You know, there's no guarantee of that yet. But if we set out a goal that said 1 year from today, we want to have a vaccine that we can vaccinate most of the country with, and then we can really start to let up on things quite a bit. If not, we're going to be in this for the next year with it only getting worse. And remember, again, I just wanted people to imagine this number, 7 to 8% of the population infected now. This virus will take us minimally to 50 to 70% before it starts to slow down transmission. Think how much more we have to go. You know, at one point, Chad, we talked about, you know, 20,000 new cases a day, and people thought that was incredible how high that was. And then we went to 40,000. Now we're at 60,000, and we're on our way to 100,000. And that, I think, is what's unimaginable. And it, just to give you an idea, if you look at the number of people who are infected who actually have clinical disease versus those who are asymptomatic, for 160 million people in this country to get infected, okay, that's half of our population. Between now and 365 days from now, we would have on average almost 55 to 60,000 cases a day, every day for the next year. Is that what we want to have? I mean, that's what we have to ask ourselves. So that's the challenge we have right now. And, you know, no amount of rhetoric, no amount of criticism, you know, and people like me are not the message. We're the messenger. And the public's going to have to make that decision. What do they want to do?
You mentioned vaccine. Okay, I want to talk about vaccine. Andy Slavitt, who you know, and Andy spoke very highly of you, was on the show the other day. And he talked about something that he's been doing lately, talking to a number of scientists. And he came away impressed about the significant progress some places are making, some great groups are making with vaccine. But he pointed out maybe it's the end of the year, maybe it's early next year. And then he also talked about this is going to be success rate, at least early on with these vaccines, like a flu vaccine, 40 to 50%. And for people who think it's going to be 90 to 95% successful, they're just foolish in thinking that way. So just give your thoughts on what would be a success with vaccines on a broad timeline and on an effective rate when it first comes out.
Well, I can just tell you, Andy and Eric are exactly on the same page. I think he said it very well. It was just how you relayed that. You know, a year from now, we had a vaccine that was 50 to 60% effective, that would be a great first step. You know, that's better than zero. Second thing, we want a vaccine that's going to most likely protect those who are at highest risk for serious disease. In other words, we surely want to prevent all infections, but what we're really looking to is try to prevent those people who get hospitalized or need intensive care or die. And so these are vaccines. We want vaccines to be safe. But, you know, Andy said it very well. I can't say it better than he did.
Yeah, there was a long story in the Times the other day, Mike, about who would get a vaccine first. Certainly those with pre-existing conditions who are more vulnerable, as you just said. How else should it be determined, in your view?
Well,
and
you know,
it's not going to be easy to have 300 million vaccines, boom, ready to go.
You know, I am likely going to cause some controversy here among some of your listeners, and, you know, so be it. But I will tell you right now, the first people in line for this vaccine should be healthcare workers. The people who are on the front lines. Right now, Chad, we're just at 1,000 deaths in healthcare workers in this country right now. 1,000. Now, not all those people died.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.